and joining us. She had a chance to hear him for a moment. And he sent me a text a couple of days ago saying, I got to be on the show. I'm going to be in the area.
In studio,
albeit. He actually showed up. This is the first time he showed up with a little bit of, it's like he's catering tonight or something.
He's like what Richie Rosen didn't bring physically, Bob replaced.
But Richie Rosen's still, don't forget, he's still a sponsor of the show.
Oh, I realize that. I'm not saying anything bad about him. I'm just saying that Bob brought the pizza did. I didn't
brought,
get no, from him. I brought the pizza.
He brought more than pizza. I think he brought buffalo wings.
You're hogging them over there, so I don't know what they are.
Those are soy ginger wings.
Are they really?
Yes. They're not buffalo.
Okay. Well, they look like buffalo, so.
They're delicious. Don't worry about it.
I brought those for Joe, actually, because I know they're his favorite. But I noticed you grabbed them.
I did.
The whole thing. Like, I didn't even get a chance to look and see what they were.
There are tissues out on the counter if you if you need to cry. I got to say, Senator, I had a chance to hear you the other day on another program.
Oh.
I'm surprised that you didn't bring it to try to lure one of those folks who was on the program with you, whether it was a Barry or Shannon. Well, Shannon, of course, being former state treasurer and someone who went up faced off against them. We actually had Shannon O'Brien on. And I thought... Yep.
Well, I didn't think you wanted some political has-been. You've been booked with royalty the last number of weeks, from what I can tell. Actually, I thought you were going to change the name of the show to The Wicked Tuna Live on WATD.
Well, no, we were going to do Monday nights with Tachi and Rossi, but we wanted to get your consent.
You should have that
first.
Guy from Wicked Tuna just move in here.
Well, that was the first time Dave was on here.
Oh.
We've had two.
See, the senator wanted to kind of throw a slag at us, but he obviously hasn't paid attention to who some of the guests have been.
I was busy watching NASCAR.
I can tell you, in your honor
the other night, now it's been a while since I saw it, a movie that stars Jeff Bridges and somehow has a connection to the Hedlund family. Let's see.
Oh, my God. Where did you see Tucker?
I saw it online.
You watched it online?
I watched it online.
Great movie.
It's an awesome movie.
The last time I went to Blockbuster in Weymouth before they closed, they didn't have it.
Tell folks what I'm alluding to it here as far as your family and that particular movie.
Well, it's almost irrelevant to my family. It was just a little bit part of my grandfather's history, but it's an amazing story that's kind of untold.
Well, now's your chance to tell it.
You know, 1948. Preston Tucker unveiled a new car, and what happened was, on this show we had the president of the Tucker Museum out in Michigan on. But basically, you know, the American public was hungry for cars after World War II because there were no domestic production of cars during World War II. Everything went to the war effort. So when the Big Three retooled after the war, they basically came out with their 1942 platforms designs. While Preston Tucker came out with something that was basically 10 years ahead of its time. And it was such a sensation. It was kind of the Apple, you know, the unveiling of the latest Apple product of its time. Mm-hmm. And the public was clamoring for new models. Big Three weren't giving them new models. Tucker had an exciting design. First car was safety glass, a Cyclops headlight, which was...
Seatbelts?
The seatbelt part, there's a little interesting history there. But he was very, very focused on safety. Padded dashboard, pop-out windows. He had a frame that went up and around the doors. There was a test run they did in Indianapolis. They ran the car for I don't know how many hours solid. And at one point, the driver fell asleep or something. The car rolled. They were still rolled multiple times. They were still able to open the door. They had what he called a crash compartment for the passenger in case there was a head-on collision.
Which is what we see standard now in vehicles.
Yeah, well, his crash compartment, because it was a rear-engine car. I mean, it was like a real crash compartment in a sense. But anyway, the bottom line was it was a great product. My grandfather lost everything he had investing in it at the time, but he never had regrets because he was such a believer in the product. He never really second-guessed himself on it. He had the opportunity to drive it. It's like a little blip on YouTube, actually. You can check out John Hedlund Reminisces. Is the headline.
Oh, really?
And it's his, not in his voice, but his words that he wrote.
Okay.
Narrated by a friend of mine with some video about his recollections about the car. He claims he drove it at 110 miles on the Boston Road between Fitchburg and Worcester or something, and they got stopped for speeding, and they were clocked at a buck 10.
Oh.
And they it was in the Tucker. Now, there were only 57 of them made.
I thought it was less than 50. I thought it was like 52 or something like that.
There were some that were not completed, et cetera. But the movie's great because the problem Tucker had was he set the factory up in Illinois.
Yep.
He was a threat to the big three in Detroit.
And they found a way to smother it.
And the way they smothered him was, and this is the part where Lloyd Bridges plays the evil U.S. senator. One of his former top aides was the head of the Securities and Exchange Commission at the time. So what they did was they brought Tucker up on 30-some-odd SEC, Securities and Exchange Commission, stock violations. He was exonerated and found innocent of all of them, but it had its intended consequence in that they destroyed investor confidence in the car. He was relying on his stock offering to fund production, and it killed the stock. And there's a famous scene in the movie, which is true, which I know you remember. You want to tell it?
No, I'll let you. You started on it. You go.
Well, what do you want? Eat another piece of pizza? So keep
I'm not
me,
eating.
Keep me in my filibuster?
I'm not eating.
He wants the wings.
No, but I want you to.
The final scene in that, which is a true story, he had his guys hustle and complete making some of the cars because one of the arguments the government had against him was that the car didn't exist. It was mythological. And
really?
In the trial, the jury was deliberating, and Tucker got, I don't know how many, 40 or 50 of the cars.
And he pulled them up in front of the courthouse.
And they circled the courthouse. They kept driving around the courthouse, tooting the horns, and people.
See, these aren't, they don't exist. Here they are.
Exactly, exactly. And he was found innocent of all the charges. And it's a shame because he was a visionary. They say he died of a broken heart. He ended up moving to Brazil, and he built a car in Brazil that went into production. It was more of a mini compact car because of the way the Brazilian market was. But it's a good story. It's a, you know, and it shows you the power of government and how the power of government oftentimes can be used in a nefarious way, in a hurtful way. Mm.
Well, and the cars themselves that were built are worth a fortune if you have one.
Oh, I mean, there's one that just a million something just went for.
Fortune.
Well, that's a nice segue into talking about what's going on with government, talking about what's going on up at the State House. What are some of the things that that are cooking up on Beacon Hill?
Well, we haven't been in a session this week or last, so it's been quiet. We did the supplemental budget. It didn't get much play. That was 2 weeks ago now, almost. It didn't get much play in the media, but we had debate on the supplemental budget with some amendments the Republicans offered. One was mine to reverse what the governor did after last year's election when he unilaterally, without any legislative approval or legislative input, implemented in-state tuition for illegal aliens. Mm-hmm. I had an amendment that would reverse that. The leadership strongly opposed it, even though the Senate had voted multiple times
really
to not allow in-state tuition for illegal aliens in Massachusetts. Mm. So we still have that in place. We tried to move, another amendment I offered was an attempt to move the investigatory powers and function at the Department of Transitional Assistance, our welfare department, to the state inspector general. Ironically, we've done that in the Senate before. We gave the inspector general power to investigate the so-called excess profit provision in Chapter 40B, the state's affordable housing law. That's where a developer, if he goes over his profit cap, the money's supposed to go to the host community, and we found 7 out of 10 projects initially that the IG investigated. 7 of those 10 contractors were gaming the system and ripping the host communities off.
Hmm.
So we had given him those powers in the past. We tried to do that with the investigatory powers at DTA because of the EBT fraud that we know is going on and all the reports about that. And the Democrats resisted that very strongly. We did have eight Democrats join us on that one.
Hmm.
But when you start with 4 out of 40 with the Republican caucus, you pick up 8, you're not even halfway.
Yeah. Mm, yeah.
Still got a lot of work to go.
Yeah.
Well, it depends now, how you look at it.
What do you think about the governor's comments that there is a normal amount? I think he said something like there's a normal amount of fraud in a system that I think the report said there's millions of dollars.
He also referred to the fraud as leakage. But I think that's unacceptable that you have one penny of taxpayer dollars considered fraud. But when we know there are ways to improve the system, and we know that the system is being gamed, and he actively resists reform, The Speaker of the House talks a good game, but he removed a guy who served on the commission, a state representative from Dorchester, Mattapan, Roxbury, Russell Holmes, who was fighting for reform, ironically, and DeLeo removed him from the commission and put someone on who advocates for the status quo. So I don't know what it's going to take to get reform. I know the Senate president has interest in this issue. She led a major welfare reform effort in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hopeful that where she's demonstrated an interest in the topic in the past, that she'll get serious with this. But she resisted our amendment 2 weeks ago. Maybe, and we heard some rumors, maybe, you know, she's interested in looking at a bigger reform package. I'll believe it when I see it.
Oscars last night. Did you have a chance to watch it?
No.
Okay.
I didn't touch it either. I don't watch that stuff.
I thought you would have. I thought, you know, Boston.
I heard it was slogging.
Yeah. Seth MacFarlane was
the worst. The world's longest TV show in history.
Yeah, it dragged.
Didn't watch a bit of it, and you know what? I'm perfect. I watched Bar Rescue all night.
There is a raging debate about the official state rock and roll song. We got to talk about at some point.
Yeah, Cutler and
Cantwell have stuck their noses in that debate, advocating for an Aerosmith song.
Well, it's a Boston.
It's nothing but like a drug reference song that really doesn't talk about Massachusetts.
Well, if you were to pick a song from Massachusetts, what would it be?
Oh, I'm on board with this effort to make it Roadrunner by Jonathan Richman and the Modern Lovers. It's a great song about Massachusetts. Read the lyrics. It really puts you in a kind of a mood.
ZLX talks. I listen to their morning show, and they talk about this every day.
I've had the idea for 5 years. Yeah. I was trying to get a class to do it as a project.
I
was going to hide behind them.
Wait, you've had this song as the idea?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
But a guy filed it this year, and I said, it's what I wanted to do for a while, so I'm the Senate sponsor.
Oh, nice.
You're the rock and roll senator. Listen, we're out of time.
We got to play it next week.
We'll have to get you back in studio, State Senator Bob Hedlund. That's all we got. Have yourself a great night.
Night.